Welcome to Beyond Boundaries from the University of Aberdeen. I'm Swati.
And I'm Tamsin.
Tamsin, how do you feel about going to the dentist?
I love it. Ever since I was a child, when they'd give you a sticker, it makes me very happy. What about you?
Mine is a bit dramatic.
You're not a fan?
I am just overwhelmed when I hear the word dentist.
That's fair. I think quite a lot of people are like that.
Well, we should mention that this episode does include descriptions of dental work, including dental work gone wrong. So if you're particularly squeamish, just like me, about the topic, you might want to listen to another Beyond Boundaries episode instead. There are plenty to choose from.
But if you're still with us, we're going to be hearing from an academic at Aberdeen whose job is all about making people smile, literally.
My name is Khalid Khalaf. I'm the director of the Institute of Dentistry. And my area of expertise is orthodontics, braces. I spent most of my life actually trying to straighten teeth and provide with a smile. But I worked in clinical academia where I teach and do research as well.
How did you end up in dentistry? Was your passion always teeth?
I do like healthcare. I do like to look after people. And started from my family, my own family and elderly relatives. And I do care about patients. And this is where I started to be healthcare providers. And I think I always been very good with my hands from very young age and academically good. So I see dentistry as art meets science, which is really meet my aspiration. That's why I joined dentistry.
I've never thought about dentistry being somewhere between art and science. And I guess there's a lot of craft involved as well.
Absolutely.
And it's not just about looking after our physical health, right? The way our teeth look can have a big impact on the way we feel about ourselves as well.
Yeah, for sure. And actually, that brings me on to something I was keen to ask Professor Khalaf about, the trend for so-called turkey teeth. What's your views on that? What do you think are the main issues?
Yeah, I think, first of all, the term Turkish teeth took its origin from, I think, because Turkey is a common destination for dental tourism, where people try to travel abroad to have dental treatment provided for them. People do that for two reasons, really, mainly. Number one, I think people seek cheaper treatment because they cannot afford the same treatment provided in the UK. And secondly, they want to have a quick fix for their smile. Therefore, they try to seek treatment abroad. There are all sorts of problems with this, really, and people are not aware of it.
So what are some of the main issues then?
I think the main issue is to start with is quite important before you have any treatment provided to your health is to be fully informed about what is it going to be provided to you, to know the risk and benefits so that you provide informed consent. This is very essential for any healthcare provision. I think when you seek treatment abroad, the majority of these treatment, they don't start with proper consultation where you meet with the healthcare provider, the consultant or the specialist, and then they go through with you what entails in the treatment, risks, benefits, and they even ideally showcase similar conditions. A lot of these treatments start with consultation over the phone or via Skype and with the language barriers, which is very difficult to be informed, especially use a lot of jargon, even people in their own language, to explain it in a language they understand, it can be quite challenging. So in a foreign country, speaking a different language, it can be very difficult to explain all the details and the nuances of such complex treatment and fully understand what is involved.
And that's before you even get there. So what can the process be like once you are there? What are these actual turkey teeth?
I think people, they go for a holiday and they enjoy themselves. And they think that in the meantime, I am there, I could get my smile fixed. And before they go, they normally identify a clinic where they provide such treatment. So when they go there, a lot of this treatment, actually, when they meet the dentist, they don't have like separate consultation. They will be the dentist and sit away. They will start the work after a brief discussion. And quite often this treatment provided very quickly in a very short period of time. And what I think they refer to Turkish teeth is either veneers or crowns, which is really caps to cover the teeth, to change the smile by changing the shape, size, and color of the teeth. This normally takes few visits here in the UK, starting with a consultation, and then after that, starting with the preparation. So over 3-4 visits to complete a veneer or a crown. When it's done very hastily in a rush manner, some of them actually can be done in 24 hours, which is very, very quick, really. And it has to be then compromised about the standards and the quality of care provided. And the other thing as well, these very delicate procedure to do, because normally they try to trim the tooth to reduce some of the outer layer of the tooth, and then they take a mold for the teeth, and then they provide the artificial replacement of the natural tissue of the tooth which has been removed. Either veneer, which is a very thin layer placed on the outer surface of the tooth, or a crown or a cap to cover the whole tooth. Normally, actually, for a veneer, we remove about very, very thin layer of the enamel, which is about 0.5 millimeter as a maximum. But if this is done much more of the tooth surface being removed, the tooth will become sensitive because the layer under the enamel called dentin, and this is actually a sensitive layer. And if it's well over-prepared, can get very close to the nerve, and then the nerve can die, and then the patient may require root canal treatment in the future. So you can see that there's a lot of risk involved if not done properly.
Well, if you ask Vimish about all these, we probably lost you by now.
So essentially, they shave down the surface of the teeth so that it's just little stubs left, and then put fake teeth on top, just to create a new smile. Is that purely for aesthetics then, and just how it looks usually?
Yeah, what you are referring to when they shave off the whole tooth and they leave little stump, is this to fit a crown, which is a cap which cover all the surface of the tooth. In fact, one of the problems, some patient, they think they are getting veneer, which is a very thin layer, like a nail really, like fingernail, on the outside, on the surface of the tooth. But actually, they may do actually crown for them, but they don't know that. And from healthcare point of view, they should only done in certain cases. For example, for discolored teeth, for teeth which have odd shape and form, for teeth which actually chipped or broken, or sometimes you have very small teeth and actually restoring their form require veneer or a crown. For these, actually, yes, can be useful because you return the optimal form and shape. But if it's done for a normal looking teeth, just only that the patient wants them to be whiter, then this can be really damaging because this is mean the main reason, cosmetic reason. And there are other methods actually before we use veneer or crown to make them look a little bit brighter.
I was just thinking people are just damaging the normal teeth to have a normal look. I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me.
I have seen a few people that have had it done just in the passing, and I don't think it ever looks authentic. Like, it definitely looks fake.
It sounds torturous too.
Yeah. All the stages to get to the point of a crown, how dangerous is that?
I think the cap themselves, as I said, if the tooth over-prepared, this means significant amount of the tooth tissues have been removed, then the patient may have tooth sensitivity and the nerve may die, and then the patient may require root canal treatment. Again, if the tooth over-prepared, there's high risk for the crown to fall off, because not enough retention and all the problems which come with that.
You mentioned that people like go on holidays to get their new smile and because it's cheaper. But is it also because it's quicker to access than it is here? Can people get it done faster than they could if they stayed at home?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. One of the main reasons is that to get a quick fix. Now, there are various healthcare providers in dentistry here where they can get the treatment. The only thing under the NHS, they only provide cosmetic treatment if deemed clinically required. So there is limited access here for pure cosmetic reasons. However, there are many providers where they can provide them, private providers, and the prices can vary from one to one. Some of them can be affordable, actually. But really, in the long run, if at all possible, safer And even, I'm not sure about the cost, even will be cheaper abroad, especially if not provided by a very good dental clinic. And we're not saying actually abroad all dental clinics bad. Some of them are actually very good. But there's no doubt a lot of them, they don't have the same standards like we have in the UK. And I think the other things here to remember as well, the protection actually. In the UK, patients are protected against medical dental negligence. We have various bodies to resort to. Whereas abroad, actually, certainly they have far less protection. In the case of anything go wrong, it's very, very difficult for the patient where to go to.
In the case that things do go wrong, does that mean the people come home here and have to come to people like you to get everything fixed?
Unfortunately, this is the case. The majority of them, they come back home and they go to the dentist. And the other issue, actually, some dentists, actually, they wouldn't be prepared to touch any cases where they feel botched cosmetic treatment has been provided, because they think a lot of problems may emerge, and the minute they get involved, they will have responsibilities. Some of them will be very reluctant to be involved. But there are some practices, they're happy to look at these cases and try to rectify them.
And have these botched jobs been on the rise lately? Has this been a growing trend recently?
I think so, for many reasons. I think during COVID, there has been backlog of many cases to see in the UK. Access to dentistry, again, there's issue with that across the UK. And because of this, I think people resort to seek treatment abroad to get quick fix.
There's a world of opportunity on offer at the University of Aberdeen, with over 400 different degrees and an ancient historic campus combined with ultra-modern facilities.
To get a taste of what goes on here, check out our online events page. You can also arrange a campus tour at any time of the year.
Links to both those things are in the written description for this episode.
So your specialty yourself is orthodontics, that's braces, right? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yes, orthodontics is the branch of dentistry where we try to improve the function and the aesthetic of the top and bottom teeth, and the function and appearance of the top and bottom jaw. I am a consultant, work at a dental hospital here, so I only see complex cases where the patients need hospital setting, multidisciplinary care, where they require braces plus surgery or plus other input from other healthcare providers in dentistry, like restorative dentistry, pediatric dentistry, patient special needs and with medical problems. So people who require hospital setting are referred here to the dental hospital to do ortho treatment. There are high street orthodontists where they see simple cases where people require only brace work. So yes, my specialty is actually, we try to improve the smile of patients by moving teeth around to provide them with a good smile.
So using your own teeth to make the smile better rather than anything fake or forced in a way.
Yes, I am with the view actually nothing better than a natural tooth. So we try to restore any natural tooth, no matter how damaged it is. But of course, there are some cases the tooth can be not restorable. So unfortunately, these cases, we have to be replaced with prosthetic teeth. But generally, if you maintain the natural tooth, that will be the best outcome. And in orthodontics, we try to move the natural teeth around and to provide the patient with good function and aesthetics.
In terms of teaching, because you mentioned that you teach the next generation, what's involved in that? Do they get hands-on experience? Is it all textbook type stuff? What's the process for students?
Dentistry, we've got here actually a program, BDS program, to train future dentists. And our program here, a bit unique actually, because it's a graduate entry BDS program where our students here, they have to have completed before they joined our program an honors degree before in basic sciences, and then they apply to join our program. There are three programs in the UK. We are one of them. We are a graduate entry program, 4 years. The conventional dental program is 5 years, but we combine the best of both worlds, a condensed graduate entry program run in a conventional dental hospital and school.
Okay, let me check I've got this right.
If you're interested in studying dentistry at Aberdeen, you must already have an undergraduate degree in a science subject. Then you can apply to go straight into the second year of the 5-year degree.
Exactly.
Cool.
For somebody considering doing dentistry as a career and coming here to study, what would you say to them? What advice would you give, or what selling points do you think there are for here?
I may be a little bit biased, but actually I try to be objective in my answer. So I think dentistry, first of all, is a healthcare profession. If you like healthcare, you like to look after people, this is actually a very, very good profession. Secondly, I think in terms of job opportunities, there's issue with access to dentistry across the UK, actually. And this is a profession where really there is so many job opportunities where you can get a very satisfying job where you change people's life, really. And I think thirdly, there are many areas where you can practice dentistry to meet your aspirations. You could practice as a general dentist where you treat patients from different background, people with different conditions, or you could specialize in one area. And we have multiple areas of specialization. When you finish dentistry, you could go further and do additional few years clinical training to become a specialist. Or you could actually even work in clinical academia where you do dentistry and teach and do research. This is the pathway which I followed. So there are many areas which can meet your aspiration, even within dentistry.
Just to finish up, what do you like most about being in dentistry and your current role?
I think, as I mentioned earlier, looking after people's health, this to me is very satisfying. And certainly for me, I see young girls and boys, and some of them actually find it difficult to eat, difficult to smile. And after a course of treatment, I feel actually they come to me with a wide smile in their faces and with a lot of thanking words. And to me, you feel like you're changing people's life. And that's very, very satisfying to me. Secondly, I think in my job, my pathway as a clinical academic, training a future generations to provide healthcare and dentistry, that's to me, again, very satisfying. When I see my students down the line, you know, very successful, that's very satisfying to me. So it is a very satisfying profession, certainly being for me and for some of my colleagues, and I hope will be for people who are looking to embark upon a good profession.
A huge thanks to Professor Khalid Khalaf for speaking to us for this episode of Beyond Boundaries.
If you have been inspired to join the Boundary Breakers at Aberdeen University, you can come to one of our open days and see our historic campus. You can also download our digital prospectus at www.abdn.ac.uk.
And to hear more, check out the rest of the Beyond Boundaries podcast. Each episode discusses the groundbreaking research of one of Aberdeen's academics.
Produced by Bespoken Media.